Welcome. So good to be back with our church family here. We had an amazing vacation last week, but it's good to be back home. I thank Josh very much for filling in for me last week and Grant both Wednesday classes that I missed teaching. It's great to see some guests with us today as well. You're always welcome here. I invite everyone to open up a Bible and follow along. We'll look at Hebrews chapter 13 to begin this morning. And I may not always say it, but I always do encourage you to check everything I say to make sure that it's true according to the scriptures. And if you ever have any questions, please feel free to come and talk to me about that, and we will look into it together. I want to begin with the question, though. I want you to answer it for yourself, but please make sure you're answering honestly. What would make you more content right now? What could you change about your life right now? And you say, yeah, if I had this, I would be more content. If you're a note taker, go ahead and write your answer down. If you don't, just remember your answer. We'll get back to it in a few moments. We began our theme for the year last month of being strong and courageous from Joshua 1 and 9, verse 9 that says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." The Lord is with you. It's a wonderfully encouraging thought, isn't it? That the Lord is with you. And we see that thought repeated throughout the New Testament over in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's an amazing verse, isn't it? I don't know what more we could ask for than that right here, that God has promised that he will never leave us. God dwells with you, right? He dwells with you in your heart through his word, when his word is written on your heart. And so during the first quarter of this year, we're focusing on the Lord is with you and what that means and the impact in your life of what it means that the Lord is with you. It's great to know and to understand the Lord is with us, but so what, right? Now what? What does that mean in my everyday life that the Lord is with me? How does that change my life? And so I think we're just going to begin scratching the surface of that impact of the Lord's presence this morning. I want to just reread Hebrews 13 and verse 5 again. This is the key verse for our lesson today. We're going to draw our outline from, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Now, my New King James Version Bible, and the one that's on the screen, it puts a period in the middle of that verse, right? And that kind of makes it seem like there's two separate ideas going on here. But in my study from the Greek, I believe this verse is supposed to be one sentence. I don't think there should be a period in the middle of Hebrews 13 and verse 5. I don't believe there is in the Greek. But regardless, that word "for" in the middle, it joins these two ideas together. We have the idea of being content and not being covetous, right? And then we have the idea of the Lord is with us. I will never leave you, he says. And so these two ideas, your contentment and the Lord's presence, they're linked together here, aren't they? Your contentment is based on the assurance of the Lord's presence in your life. And so the title of our lesson today then is, "The Lord is with you, so be content." Be content. Contentment is something a lot of us really struggle with, I think. I think a lot of Christians struggle with truly being content. And I wonder sometimes if this isn't one of those areas that we kind of are shy to talk about as Christians. We don't want to admit that we struggle with contentment because we know the right answer is that we ought to be content as Christians. We ought to be content with our faith. And we know it's a sin to be covetous or just, you know, it's not right to not be content. But when we stop and look at our life, does our life reflect that of a person who is actually content? Do your choices on a daily basis indicate you to be a content person or not? Are your spending habits, the spending habits of a person who's content or a person who is covetous in their life? Or how about How about your prayer life? Is your prayer life the prayer life of a content Christian or not? How about your relationships and the way you treat others? Is your treatment of others characterized by an attitude of contentment or not? And so what we need to understand is our strength and courage. What does this have to do with being strong and courageous, right? Our strength and courage is dependent upon the Lord being with us and also upon our contentment with the Lord's presence in our life. You cannot be stronger spiritually than your level of contentment. You cannot be more courageous spiritually than you are content. Your contentment with your relationship with God will either make you strong and courageous, or else your discontentment and covetousness will make you weak and cowardly. Spiritual strength and courage cannot and will not exceed your contentment. I'll say that one more time. Spiritual strength and courage cannot and will not exceed your level of contentment. And so, if we want to be strong and courageous, we need to be content with the Lord's presence in our lives. And so this morning, we're going to talk about what we need to do to be content with the Lord's presence, to be content because the Lord is with you. So Hebrews 13 and 5 kind of will help us with shape our outline. We're going to use Philippians 4, 11 through 13 as kind of a companion passage with that, a passage we should be familiar with after our Philippians class. And we're also going to look at some of Paul's writing in Paul's writings throughout the book of 2 Corinthians to help clarify our points today. So three main texts to help us with our lesson. And so strength through contentment starts with realigning your expectations in this life. Hebrews 13, verse 5 again says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness." Let your conduct be without covetousness. Covetousness is the opposite of contentment. To covet is to be greedy or simply to desire more. To be content is to be satisfied with what you have. But don't get confused. Just because you're not covetous doesn't necessarily mean that you are content. I think sometimes we try to walk in this gray area, this kind of lukewarm area, where I'm not really covetous, but maybe I'm not completely content either. And Jesus never wants us to be lukewarm. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. Again, we know covetousness is sinful, but we aren't exactly content because we've not quite learned that yet, perhaps. Over in Philippians 4, in verse 11, Paul writes, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have what? I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." That's exactly what we want to do. We want to learn to be content. And so if you look over in 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us a lot about that. He tells us about how to be content. Sorry, one more point from verse 11 there. He says, "I have learned in whatever state I am." He's learned in whatever state he's in to be content. His contentment is not determined by his circumstances. His contentment is not determined by his circumstances. Contentment and circumstances are not connected. They shouldn't be connected. There's no connection between Paul's circumstances in life and his contentment in life. They should be independent of one another. Back over in 2 Corinthians now, chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11, let's read verse 24 through 28. Most of us are probably familiar with Paul's life. We'll go through these verses and not spend a ton of time here. Verse 24, "From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. What a list. There's been some of us who've gone through a lot in our lives, but none of us here have gone through this, have we? I've not gone through any of this. Any of this. And I don't think most of us have gone through any of this. I mean, you can just go to the first one. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes. That's 5 times more than me. And I think it's 5 times more than everyone here, isn't it? That's just the first one. He went through a lot. He had a rough go of it. But look at what he goes on to say in the next chapter. Chapter 12. We'll just start in verse 7. It says, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Verse 10, after going through all that, what does he say? He says, I take pleasure in infirmities. If you have the ESV, yours said something different. Yours said, I am content with weaknesses. Paul said, I'm content. With what? With my great circumstances? No, with my weaknesses. With the trials, with these negative circumstances. He's not, again, his contentment is not dependent on the lack of trouble in his life. He had plenty of trouble. And so think back to your answer from earlier. And I asked, what would make you more content? And I believe if we're being honest with ourselves, if we're not looking for the right Bible class type answer, right? Most answers probably fall in one of these 3 categories. An easier life, maybe a better job, maybe a relationship, you know, at work or in your family that needs fixed. Better health, maybe you have some illness or some disease or an issue that's just been nagging you for a long time. Or more security. And for most of us, we might just, you know, a bigger retirement or more income or something of that nature. Finances come into security for us a lot of times. Although Paul's sense of security might just be, you know, let's leave it at 5 beatings and not go to 6 is what he's looking for. Are any of these things bad to want or even to seek after in life? Absolutely not. I want all of those things. And I think we all probably do. We all seek after these things to some extent, probably every day. But at what cost? At what cost do we seek after a better life, better health, more security? And as we'll look at later, for what purpose? But the fact is, God didn't give these things to Paul. Go back through and read 2 Corinthians 11. God didn't give any of these things to Paul. Paul had a very difficult life. He wasn't in great health, and he was not very secure at all in the way he lived. And so if God didn't give these things to Paul, or even, look at the life of Christ. If God didn't give these things to Paul or even Christ, why should we expect greater than them? Why should I expect greater blessings than Paul or Jesus Christ? And so if you're thinking to yourself with whatever you wrote down or thought earlier, you know, whenever I get this, whatever this is, whenever I finally graduate, whenever I finally land a job, whenever I get married, whenever I start making 6 figures, whenever I have a child, whenever I recover from this illness, whenever I retire, whenever I whatever, then I'll be more content. I have bad news, but it's going to be good news for you. You'll never be content. You will never, ever, ever, ever be content. If that is your mindset, you're not going to find it. You're not. And I'd go so far as to say, there's a good chance God won't even give you that thing or let you have that thing because he knows you couldn't handle it. If you're depending on that thing for your contentment, God knows you can't handle it. Or maybe you do get that thing, but maybe that's Satan's way of just keeping you wanting more and keeping you in that cycle of covetousness. I don't know about all that. But what I know is none of those things will bring you contentment. They just don't. And so if you're waiting around for some circumstance like that in your life to change, anything in these categories, you need to realign your expectations. You might also need to reassess your possessions. Go back to Hebrews 13. The middle part of verse 5 says, be content with what? Be content with such things as you have. Again, God does not want you to be lukewarm. He doesn't just say, don't be covetous, period. Don't be covetous and be content with such things as you have. You have to actually be content. And you might think, yeah, that's easy to say when you have a lot, but how can I be content when I don't have anything, right? How can I be content when I don't have all these things I need? We looked at Philippians 4:11 earlier. You follow to verse 12, it says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Paul says, everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. There's some of those contrasts that Grant talked about in Wednesday night's class, right? Paul experienced both ends of the spectrum. He says, it doesn't matter. Either way, abundant lifestyle or not. And we all have that abundant lifestyle here, don't we? We all have an abundant lifestyle. But he also knew what it was to be in great need, greater need than most of us could even imagine. So if you go back over to 2 Corinthians, back to chapter 6, where Brother Charles read for us earlier in our service, there's a lot here. We're going to go ahead and reread this passage again. But verse 10 is kind of the take-home point that we're going to focus on after the reading. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 4, but in all things we commend ourselves as what? As ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, and needs, and distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments. We got a similar list going on in chapter 11. In tumults, and labors, and sleeplessness, and fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness. I like this part. On the right hand and on the left. I got the armor on both sides, right? By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. How does that work? How do I have nothing, yet possess all things? Here's the point. Christians have to differentiate between the physical and the spiritual. And I think that's what some of those contrasts in the last part of that passage are looking at. We are chastened physically, but we're not killed, are we? And so, I heard another preacher put it this way with this passage. If we look at everything we have, both physical and spiritual, and we put them all in one big basket, the way that you and I work, the way that people work, we're always going to look at that basket. If we've combined our physical in the spiritual, we're always going to look at that and think, I just know God can give me more because I see my neighbor's basket and I see that new car, or I see that boat, or I see, you know, whatever. And we're always going to think that there's just more that could be added to that basket. But what we need to do is we need to put two different baskets on the table. One basket for the physical and one for the spiritual blessings. And if we do that, that first basket, it contains our health, it contains our relationships, it contains our security, things from that list of things we want to make us more content, right? All of your stuff, go in that first basket. And what you realize is that basket is a lot like that bag of holes that Haggai wrote about. Remember back in Haggai 1, verse 6? The Lord says, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages earns them to put into a bag with holes. What happens with a bag of holes? It's going to fall out. You're going to lose it all. I don't care how much you have in your physical basket. You're going to lose it all. Eventually. Maybe today, maybe the stock market crashes tonight and we all go bankrupt tomorrow. Maybe, I don't know, but at least when you die, you're not taking any of it with you, are you? 401k, retirement, vacation home, whatever you got, you're not taking it. You're going to lose it all. It's a bag with holes. But that second basket, the basket with all your physical blessings, the relationship with Jesus Christ, the fellowship you have with him, and with his family, with his church, and his presence dwelling with you through his word, his line of communication through prayer he's given, that promise of eternal life, all of these spiritual blessings, look, in that basket, you possess all things. You have everything. Absolutely everything. And what's more, you get to keep it all because that basket is sealed tight and you get to keep it forever. It never goes away. Even when you die, even when your flesh and bones are rotting in the grave, you have all of those blessings completely intact. So you might have nothing, but you possess all things. And so when Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, brother, that should not be too difficult considering we already possess all things. How could I not be content with that? If you think stuff is going to make you more content, you need to reassess your possessions. A third thing we need to do is simply remember your God. Remember who your God is. The last part of Hebrews 13:5 reads, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And what you see is when you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, he is all you need to be content. Because you possess all things when the Lord is with you. Go back to Philippians 4 one more time. We've read 11 through 12. We'll read that again and add 13. Paul says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am, regardless of circumstances, to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The key to contentment is Christ. It's Christ. This is the message back in 2 Corinthians that he gives us as well. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 again. Pick back up in verse 9. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities that what? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, because the power of Christ rests upon me, I take pleasure in infirmities. I am content in weaknesses, English Standard Version says, in reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It is through our weakness that the power of Christ is able to dwell with you. And so when we talk about the power of Christ, we need to remember what we're talking about. Go back to chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, start in verse 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we even despaired of life. Again, not the circumstances to find contentment in, right? Or so we think. Verse 9, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but what? But in God, who raises the dead. We should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. When I say remember your God, I mean remember the God that has the power of resurrection. In your ultimate weakness, in death itself, again, when you are totally incapable of anything but rotting in the grave, the power of God will raise you from the dead and give you eternal life. Remember God. Remember who he is and what he is capable of. That is the God that is with you, so be content. Be content. And finally, if you made it this far, you know you're going to have to redirect your desires. Redirect your desires. Excuse me. If you're still in 2 Corinthians, turn over to chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, read verses 3 through 11. Even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ. Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Do yourself a favor and take time just to meditate on verse 6 here later today. Because this is an amazing passage. It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. The Lord who commanded light to shine from nothing, to shine out of complete darkness, he has shown that light in your heart so that you would give this light, so that you would give his light to others by sharing the gospel message with them. When you remember who God is and you are content with his presence with him, it should be your sole purpose to manifest the life of Jesus in your mortal flesh, as we see in verse 11. If your greatest desires are for the things of this world, you will never find contentment. You'll find moments of pleasure, but they'll pass. All vacations come to an end, even if your flight gets canceled for a few days. You still have to come home eventually. It all comes to an end. You'll find moments to rejoice, but not to rejoice always. Your covetousness will leave you in vain pursuit of contentment, because contentment is only found in the Lord when your greatest desire is to bring him glory. Remember those three things we talked about earlier: an easier life, better health, more security. Those things, again, they're fine to seek and even ask for. But why? Why would you ask for those things? Because if you ask for those things to fulfill your selfish desires, then you know what you're doing? You ask amiss and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. James 4 and verse 3. The reason you should be seeking an easier life or better health or more security is so you can bring more glory to God. So you can use those blessings to shine his light even greater to those around you. And so with whatever extent you've been blessed with an easy life, with good health, with security, we better be using those things to the glory of God. We've read a lot from Philippians 4. I'm going to go back to Philippians chapter 1. Go back to Philippians one more time, chapter 1, Another passage that we should be familiar with at this point with our study of Philippians, and I've referenced this verse a lot lately, but I will tell you I've meditated on it far more often than I've referenced it publicly. Philippians 1, verses 19 through 23. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Remember, we have all things, right? He supplied us with all spiritual blessings. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body. We should all be able to make that statement boldly, that Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, if I have an easier life, if I have better health, if I have more security, if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. What I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul's desire was for Christ. That's his greatest desire, just to be with him. But he said, if I keep on living, then my desire is to magnify him and to exalt him, to shine his light to others, and to bring him glory. Amen? Amen. So what will make you more content? Because money's not going to do it. Better health won't make you content. You might think it will, but it won't. An easier life isn't going to make you content. The only thing that will do that is a life with God. A life that seeks to glorify God as much as possible, as often as possible. A life that values your spiritual blessings far above and beyond your physical blessings that you might possess for just a short time. A life that expects difficulty but views every difficulty as just another opportunity to shine his light, to bring him glory, to glorify the amazing God that has the power to give all of us eternal life. Do you want to be more content and live that life with God? If there's anybody here this morning that's not living with the Lord, that's not living with his presence, with him abiding in you, you've got to make the correction. You need to make that correction. If we can help you, if maybe you've never put on Christ in baptism, whatever the case is, if you need help living with the Lord, please let us know. And you can do that right now if you'd like as we stand and as we sing.